I think there's almost as much many people up here as out there. Amen. It's good to be in church on a Sunday night. I hope you're glad to be here. The other night we had a couple people. I gave you a quick opportunity to thank the Lord for being saved. Does anybody here want to give a real quick testimony? Thank the Lord for saving. Give the Lord some praise or thanks. Tim.
I thank the Lord for saving me September 1st, 2019.
Amen. Amen. That seems to be a good day to get saved, doesn't it? Guess that's when God's choices get saved, right? I'm sorry. Not really. Anybody else want to thank the Lord? Praise the Lord. The other Tim.
I'd just like to thank the Lord for saving me and blessing me. And even though I failed him so many times, he still has mercy and grace with me. And I just like to thank him for it.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. It's a busy month. If you blink your eyes too many times, you miss a party around here, so don't blink your eyes too much. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for saving me. Lord, it is good to be in your house on a Sunday night. And Lord, you are the only reason that we're even gathered here. And we just love you. Thank you for all you've done for us, and thank you for the Word of God you've given us. And Lord, as we open it now, Lord, we need you. I need you, Lord. I'm poor and needy. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help as I preach. Bless your people that are here. I pray you'd please give them something that would be a help to them, Lord. Encourage them and strengthen them. Bless those that are sick. Lord, I pray you'd touch them, help them get better, Lord. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach out of verse number 1, the end of the verse there. It says, lest at any time we should let them slip. And he talks about giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And it's a familiar verse here. We've probably heard messages out of this. Slip, to slip means to slide or to move out of place, to err, to lose by negligence, to omit, or to be lost. 5 times the word slip is used in the Word of God, and 4 of the times it mentions about the foot slipping. Here, not so much the foot slipping, but the things that we've heard. In 2 Samuel verse 22, the Bible says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. David in Psalms 18 says the exact same thing, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. I don't know about you, but I'm sure we've all had times where your feet slipped on icy ground. Amen? And you know what I learned from that? It's sudden. Amen? Even if you're trying to be careful, it happens so quick that you cannot catch yourself or save yourself from falling. Amen. I remember when my wife and I were courting, we went to New York City, and it was in the middle of winter. I think it was a day or two for New Year's, middle winter. We were in Central Park, and it was a little icy, and I told her, I was like, now don't slip and fall because I can't catch you, you know, because we're courting and we can't touch. So it's sort of a joke, but it happened sudden. Amen. And I remember the first year we went to a winter camp. I think some here were there, and they should have called it ice camp. Amen. It was a comedy of 2.5 days of watching people, some foolish people who put church shoes on when everything was covered in ice and tried to walk around these mountains and hills with church shoes on, slipping and sliding. It was comical. Amen. It happens quick. It happens sudden. It happens when you're not aware. And it happens so quick you didn't even realize, even if you're alerted that it could happen, it happens so quick. I remember one time when I was working, amen, I never did it after that one time, but one time I was working, and we were plywood and a roof. We were building townhomes up in Phoenixville, and on the back, they were 2 stories on the front, on the back, they were, or 3 on the front, because they had the garage, and we were on plywood in the front. It was the middle of winter. It was early in the morning. We had set the trusses the day before and left them. So the first thing you know, bright and early, 7 o'clock, we're up there, and we had put the first row on. And so I was carrying that. We had a boom thing lifting the plywood up, and I was carrying the plywood walking all the way out to start on the end. And when it was just one sheet of plywood and probably 20-some foot. And what I didn't know is a little piece of ice, and I stepped on that piece of ice, and just that quick, my feet went out towards the ground. And when I fell down, I don't know why, but it was just reaction. My hand turned, and I grabbed that top piece of that nail plywood. But it happened so quick. We slip so quick. In Job chapter 12, the Bible says, "He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease." In other words, somebody who's at ease in their house, they don't need a lamp. When the lamp is burned out, especially in Bible times, it wasn't like flashlights today. They'd light that little torch. When it was burned out, what'd they do? They just throw it away. They neglect it. In Psalm 17, David says, "Hold up my goings and thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." He says in Psalm 73, "My feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped." But we're not talking so much as your feet slipping alone. Your feet can slip. But it says here, "Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Well, what can make something slip? Well, listen, there's different times you can lose something or have something slip. It can happen in a time of peace and prosperity. When things are going well, when the water is smooth, as they say, when it seems to be fairly problem and trouble-free, you can let things slip. You can let things slip in a time of temptation. You can let things slip in a time of persecution. Some let them slip in a time of forgetfulness. They forget the things that God has done. There can be a time, thinking of the time of temptation, where we can be tempted by this world and sin and errors and false doctrine. We need to pray and we need to meditate on the things of God that we don't let them slip. I want to look at these three things, but just as an introduction, there's a possibility of losing our hold. It says in verse 1, it says, "lest." There is a possibility. We see the occasion of losing our hold. He said, "at any time." Could happen at any time. That's what makes it so difficult. And then the manner, how do we lose it? We let them slip. Let me look at the first thing as we look at some do not. What I want to preach on, don't let things slip. Don't let things slip. The first thing I see is our danger. There is a danger, and the danger is what we are capable of, is what we're capable of allowing to happen. He says here, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." The first danger, though, if you look at this verse, has to do with the hearing. He takes for granted the things which we have heard, but you know there's those who have heard and yet have not heeded that which they have heard. In other words, one of the dangers is hearing but not getting what we should get out of hearing. Any of us that have children, there's things we've told them and they did not get them the first time. And we ask them, "Why, you know, did I not tell you this?" Yes, we did. But as Christians, there's things we've heard, but we've not gotten it. We need to listen on purpose. We need to listen. When we hear, we need to listen and learn from what we get. We need to allow that to work in our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye what? Heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see in that verse, they heard the word of God. Then what did they do? They received the word of God. So hearing does not mean you'll receive it, but they received it. And then they went even a step further. What did they do? They allowed it to work effectually in them that believed. So when they received it, they believed it, and it worked in them effectually. That's what we need to do when we hear the word of God. We need to hear it. We need to receive it. We need to believe it and allow it to work in our lives. And listen, if you've been saved any length of time, as many of you have tonight, you are where you are as a Christian because there's things you've heard from the word of God. You've received them, you've believed them, and you've allowed them to work in your life. But that's what this verse is written about, is don't let those things slip. See, we all are in danger of letting things slip, of drifting. You're very familiar with currents. You all familiar with currents? Currents are very real. They're very dangerous. And what would make us drift? What would make us get away from God? There's currents that are strong against us to make us drift. Listen, and if you read any news, and we're not that far from the shore, the Jersey Shore, the shore in Maryland, every year there's people that die because of currents. They get caught in a current, a riptide, an undercurrent. It was not visible. It looked fine. And they died. It took them out to sea, and they died. Currents are very real. And there's currents in life that try to get us away from God. You know, there's a current of time. Time is very real. You know, there's people that were in church just like you were, and they were doing good. You know what happened? Time went. And you could fill in the different amount of time for some of them, and after a certain amount of time, they were no longer. Time, the current of time had taken them away from God. You know what time does? Time changes people. Did you know that? People are not always the same that they've always been. Some have slid back from where they were once at a younger time. Listen, just because you get physically older does not automatically mean you get spiritually older and more mature. It does not mean you would just simply draw closer to God because you are now older physically. Do you understand that? You understand that, and I think I told the teen guys this morning, physical age does not equal maturity. You do not become a man when you turn a certain physical age. I've known 20-year-olds that were very mature. I've known 40-year-olds who were still practically just immature boys. So time changes some people. Time does not guarantee that you are going forward for God. Now listen, it's good to be faithful. It's good to have months and years or even decades living for God. But just living life does not guarantee you are going forward for God. You have got to put the work, the effort, and have the desire. There's some that are not as zealous for God as they once were. There are some that are not where they once were for God. They have drifted back. There are some that are not as godly and separated as they once were. There are some that are not as devout about the things of God as they once were. There are some, they keep up the appearance, but they have begun to drift down the stream, down with the current, and after a while, they end up far from where they once were. Any of you that have gone out in the ocean, you go out there and you mess around and you splash and you swim a little bit, and before you know it, you look back and you think where you went out, you end up way down the beach. Anybody ever notice that? You didn't know it was happening. It happened a little at a time, but over a length of time, you end up far from where you started. There's a current of time. There's a current of being familiar with the truth. And you know what it causes some to do? Now, you may not think this at first, but it causes some to drift from God because they've gotten so familiar or so used to it, especially those of us that were brought up in church. I mean, it is literally all we know. All I know for 44 years of my life, how much of that I do know, and I can't say I remember the first couple years real well, but 40 plus years of my life, all I know is church, all I know is Bible, and the truths of the Word of God. I've heard thousands, yea, tens of thousands of messages. I've been to how many services, I've heard so many songs, I've gone in the altar, you know, however many times, and I've read my Bible, and I've prayed, and I'm familiar with the Word of God, I'm familiar with the truth, but sometimes that can cause us to drift from God. We get used to it, get used to the truth. We find it hard sometimes to keep the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, as fresh as it once was for us. We fail to keep it, keep our interest as keen, as strong, and as deep as we once were, as we once did. You know what it does? It shows the weakness of human nature. You ever taste something for the first time and it was just amazing and you couldn't get enough for it, and then you ate so much of it you didn't want any more of it? Has anybody ever done? Nobody's going to admit to that. But anyways, What happened? You got so familiar, human nature said, nope, time for something what? New and different. I remember growing up, I used to like oatmeal. I did. And the first 850 times I had oatmeal for breakfast, I liked oatmeal. But there came a time in my life because of my flesh said what? Time for something different. You no longer like oatmeal. But now I like oatmeal again. If you do something over and over enough in our flesh, you know what happens? It gets stale. You wake up in the morning, you open the Word of God, and there's been times it's been just steaming warm manna fresh from heaven. I mean, it's been like that fresh. You ever have a fresh loaf of homemade bread come out of the oven, you cut it, put some low-fat, of course, butter on it, very low-fat butter, and you eat that? I mean, there's not much better than that in the world, is it? You take that same loaf of bread about 7 days later and you cut the green stuff off the top. You take the cold frozen butter and stick a slab in the center of it and try eating that. A little bit different, isn't it? You know what's happened? What happens to us at times, that's what the Word of God becomes. Comes that loaf of bread that's a little bit old and it's become dry to us. Not that it has, but to us, it's become a little dry. It's become a little stale. What was it? It's just familiarity. It's just simply getting used to something. Listen, there's things that in church and in the Word of God and even in the Christian life, it used to wow us. It used to just put us in awe. And now it's just commonplace. It's like no big deal. Things that used to consume our life for good, the things of God, now it's just like ho-hum. Just another thing in the list of daily chores that we're involved in. The current getting too familiar, getting used to it. And I'm not saying you can't get familiar, but you know what you got to do? You got to ask the Lord to keep it hot and fresh and real for you. And let me say, the current of the cares and pressures of life can cause us to drift. Anxieties and difficulties we face, trials we face, just the daily grind of life, keeping up with duties, the daily joys and the daily disappointments, the sorrows and the overcomings. You think of a snowflake, it's such a tiny thing, right? Anybody ever try to catch one snowflake on your finger? I mean, such a tiny thing. But when the air is full of them for a long enough time, what an effect they can have. I mean, especially if you live down south, if you just get a couple of them, they can shut everything down. I mean, you get enough of them even up here, they can pretty much shut things down, right? People don't know how to drive in snow. I think it ought to be a requirement for you to get a driver's license. You at least know how to drive in snow. Like 1 inch of snow should not shut you down. You don't have to do 5 miles an hour because there's an inch of snow on the ground. You're going to cause an accident. That was free. That's a side note. But if you get enough of those single snowflakes piled up, they can bring even destruction and death. Same with the cares of life, the interest, the attention of life. One care, but you get enough cares, it can affect our lives. The cares of life. Remember, in the Old Testament, the man who was told to keep the servant, or keep the other man, and he said, as thy servant was busy here and there. Anybody in here busy here and there? Anybody else you can associate with that man? What did he do? He lost that which he was supposed to be keeping or watching or guarding. And he didn't do it. He wasn't in sin. He did not forsake his post. He simply was busy here and there. You know what we are? And especially in this month of the year, but really 12 months a year, we are busy here and there. If you're not careful, you'll lose that which the Lord told you, take a hold of, keep it, don't lose it, don't let it slip. So I'm saying even while doing right and doing good, there is a danger of us losing things we should not. And then let me say, there's a current of public opinion. And boy, has this not caused many Christians to get away from the truth. This would include the current culture and society that we live in. Now, you might be different, but do you know that to some people, other people's opinion matter very much to them? That's why some would never speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're afraid that person's opinion of them would go down. You might say, well, that's not a problem to me, and that's good, but there's some that is a problem too. There are some that are afraid to act a certain way in public or even dress a certain way or talk a certain way because of other people's opinion. Now, I'm not saying that's right. You should not fear the face of man, but I'm just saying it is a fact. There are people that have covered their light under a bushel basket because they're afraid of people's opinion of them. There's a pressure in the day and age we live in of political correctness. That's the day and age that we live in. Listen, if you're not careful, you're succumbed to that. You begin to be talking out in public and you're going to say, oh, you know, you might be talking, you might go to say the word sodomite, and all of a sudden you might stop yourself and look who's around before you finish the words. You've caved the pressure of political correctness. The pressure of fitting in on the job or out there in the world. Why you would want to, I don't know, but I'm just saying I know that for some, that is a pressure. You don't want to be laughed at. You don't want to be the oddball. You don't want to be the one that sticks out like a sore thumb that everybody else whispers about in the corner. You know they're whispering about you, and there's nothing you can do to change it unless you decide to fit in, act like them, dress like them, talk like them, laugh at what they laugh at, go the places they go to. Pressure of not being different. Pressure of being accepted in society. There's some people, there's pressure on some to not make the gospel or our Christianity offensive to this world, yet the Bible tells us it will be offensive to this world. I'm just saying these currents or these are very real things, and many more are constantly working against Christians to pull them away from the truth which was once delivered them. Listen, any one of these can sweep us away from where we're supposed to be. You could talk about the drift of the religious world or current of the religious world, of the associations. That's why it's so important. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, your own evil nature is a current against you. Temptation is a current against you. Many influences of life that can cause us to slip. There's some that because of their salvation, they feel, I don't know but why, but they do. They feel like they're missing out in life, like they've been isolated, like they're suffering so much because they're a Christian. You say, that doesn't make sense, but I'm telling you, there's people who used to sit where you sat that do no longer because of these reasons. There's those that are sympathetic with the world and the world's views. They become sympathetic to the world. There's hardships and supposed mistreatments that some go through that calls them to drift from the Lord. Listen, we're all in danger of letting things slip. You know, we can let time slip away. Have any of us ever allowed time to slip away? You know, the one thing about time is you don't get it back. You don't get to turn the clock back, do you? Joshua got a little bit extra time one day, but I'm not sure that's going to happen for you and I. There's time. He said, don't let it slip, but there's time that we've allowed it to slip. We've wasted it or we've lost it. You know, as my children quickly get older, I'm realizing more and more the value of time as I get older. I mean, I'm probably well over halfway through my life. And, if I live, unless the Lord comes back, I might be really towards the end of my life. But time, how valuable time is. Time with children. Yet we get so busy here and there, doing here and there, and we allow much time to go where we don't buy up the time. Time with the Lord. We get so busy. I didn't write it down. I can't quote it, but I think it was McLaren's quote that's on the calendar this month. It's a problem. We're so busy that we don't take the right amount of time in prayer with the Lord. Time in the Word of God. Time with God's people. Time doing what God would have us to do. We can let time slip away. I know you young people, I sat where you sat. I know what you think. You've got all the time in the world, especially during school. I mean, my goodness, it's like an eternity. And you sit there, and I was just telling those teens today, there's some of them, they're 13. I have a couple 13-year-olds in there, and put together, they make maybe one 13-year-old, and then we got some 16-year-olds. I figured out how to make a 16-year-old look smart, because we have a few in there, and 16, 17-year-olds. You just put a 13-year-old in the class. Boy, they look smart. We've got an 18-year-old, and, And I told him, I said, I know, to you, you have the rest of your life ahead of you. I mean, if the Lord doesn't come back and they live a normal life, they've got 60 plus years ahead of them already. And because of that, sometimes we're very likely to just waste time because we always think, well, I've got plenty. I've always got tomorrow. I mean, I've got the next 60 years. The next 2 days isn't really that important. I'm telling you, the older you get, and those in here that are adults will probably tell you the same thing. The older they get, the more valuable time is. Not only that, we can allow duties to slip. Duties that we have in our individual situations, things, practices we're supposed to do on a daily or regular basis. I think of the duties of a husband and wife. You know, we can allow those duties to slip if we're not careful. How do you think so many marriages are being destroyed and divided? It's because people are letting things slip. Listen, you cannot have a good marriage and have selfishness present. A selfish person cannot be part of a good marriage. Selfishness just goes against. Listen, stubbornness will not let you have a good marriage. I'm just saying to those, and myself included, that have a husband or a wife in here tonight, we need to be careful. We don't allow our duties as a spouse to slip. My duty as a husband is to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's an everyday duty God has given me to fulfill. Yeah, how many times have we let that slip? Maybe just for an hour, or maybe just for a really busy day. I'm supposed to provide for her. I'm supposed to make her feel safe and secure in my love. I'm supposed to have open and communication with her where she can bear her heart, and we can one to another, and where she comes to me, amen, and not somebody else, to share deep or the deep issues of her heart, or however I should say that. I should provide for her physically and emotionally and spiritually. And her responsibility is submit and reverence her husband. And you wives, that's your responsibility. And we're to be a godly, spirit-filled example to our children. But it's easy to have times where that slips. How about as parents? We have some parents in here. They've been parents a long time. Some not as much as other. But there's training to be done. You know what training is? Training is a full-time job. It is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And I'm telling you, even if you, with the help of God, you try to be diligent at it, and you do your very best, I'm telling you, it's going to come a day you're going to sit there and look back, and you're going to say, boy, there was so much more training I could have done or I should have done. I don't know, Brother Kiefer, I've never reached a spot where I look at my kids and say, boy, I got all done, all the training's done. Every once in a while, fairly frequent, my wife and I would try to take inventory, right, of our home. And you know what we always come up with? We're probably the only ones. We always come up with, man, we've barely gotten started. I mean, we need to work on this, and we need to implement this. And boy, this is slacked a little bit, and boy, this ain't going so well. It always feels like every 5 steps up the mountain you take a few or more back. But it's not an excuse. It's training. The Bible says, betimes, early and often, all the time. There's always an opportunity to train. Teaching. And listen, training involves teaching. It involves discipline. It involves love. It involves time. It involves some wisdom on the parents' part. It involves some discernment. It involves some humility. I'm telling you, if you're not living a spirit-filled life, it is hard to train your children in the way that they should go. It's going to require some hard decisions that are not going to be popular, maybe with your children, maybe with family, maybe even every once in a while, the other spouse may not even be full agreement in some of the hard decisions. Now, I think they need to get in agreement, but I mean they're always in agreement. There's hard decisions that need to be made. But if we're not careful, we have a great responsibility of training our children, and we can let that slip away. There's ministries God's allowed us to be part of. These are all part of our duties that we can allow to slip. A ministry. And listen, there's many ministries in a church. There's many ministries in the home. Not all ministries are the ones that are visible. There are ministries, there's preaching to be done, there's teaching to be done, there's singing to be done, there's cleaning to be done, there's babysitting in the nursery to be done, there's cooking to be done, there's setting up to be done, there's mowing to be done, there's visiting to be done, there's giving to be done. And we could go on and on and on, and I'll probably have hit a ministry that everybody in here is a part of. You may not have considered it a ministry. But if you're not careful, you can let those things slip. You can let your preparation slip if you're not careful. You can get so used to doing something that whereas you used to put a certain amount and proper amount of time in, now you're just going to, not totally wing it, but you're not going to quite put all the time in because, hey, you've done it and you're good and you've gotten good at it. And therefore, I'm not going to prepare like I should. And you're letting it slip. Maybe where you once prayed, because you couldn't believe God let you even open the door at church. But now you don't have to, pray so much because you've gotten so busy. Not time for prayer. Maybe at once you were so zealous. I mean, whatever it was, you just so excited to do it. I mean, it was just the highlight of your day. And now it's just a little bit more of a duty. It's a drudgery. In fact, you're wondering why more people aren't trying to help like you are. And you're just so busy. It's so hard to get everything done. You need to get done involved in the ministry. It takes love. You better have some love if you're going to minister to others. What you do, if you don't do it out of love for Jesus Christ, you will become like Martha very quickly. It will take some humility. Because you're going to be involved in a ministry and there's going to be a time that you tried to do, you gave it your best shot. You prepared and you tried to pray and you tried to do a good job, whether it was a visiting, whether it was a class you were teaching, a meal you were cooking, a drink you were making, a room you were cleaning, a child you were babysitting, and you're going to have somebody criticize what you tried your best to do. Boy, if you're not humble, you're going to well up, say, who do you think you are? And you're going to end up defending and fighting for yourself and your own glory and your own honor. And we learned earlier today in Sunday school, we're learning about trying to teach these teens about biblically how to become a man. And we heard that boys fight to defend their own honor. Spiritual people fight to defend God's honor. Some of us, though, you say one word against us, we're going to defend our honor. You're not going to dishonor me like that. Well, that's because you're immature. But people will try to criticize even when you do right. How about in the church? We can easily forget the blessings the church has been. So there's duties. Listen, we're in danger of letting things slip, time and duties. How about our separation? We can allow that to slip. We can allow the world to influence us. And the more the world influences you, the more it will show in our conversation. In our conversation, not just be in our speech, but everything about our live, how we talk, how we dress, how we act, how we react, how we think. I'm telling you, if you allow the world to influence you, your thinking will even be affected. And there's many other things we could talk about, danger of losing. How about our zeal? I mentioned zeal under the ministries, but our zeal for the things of God. When's the last time you were excited to do something for God? Or was it just like a job or a chore that you did and you might have done well and you might even been willing, but there was just no excitement about that. I'm telling you, you young people, you children, young people, whoever you might be, even the adults, we're all capable of allowing things to slip. You can get so used to it that instead of being given the more earnest heed, we can begin to even complain about the things we're supposed to hold on to. So that's the danger. What's the safety? Or how can we be safe in this? Look in verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. You know what you need to do? You need to give the more earnest heed. Earnest. If you look up earnest, it means hot, burning. Eager to obtain, having a longing desire, intent, fixed, seriousness, important. In other words, more earnest heed is take it serious. Be passionate about it. It needs to be a matter that's very much important to us. There needs to be an intense attention. that we demand, that is demanded, that we not let these things slip. Give the more earnest heed. And give heed. Heed means care, caution, pay attention to. Like if you were walking or running, you would pay attention where you were going so you would not run into the tree, right? That would be, give heed, pay attention. You ever have your child and maybe they're carrying something full of a liquid or they're doing something and they're not paying attention what they're doing? And you can, and you've seen it, and you've seen it before, and you can see it before it happens. You can see the spill coming. You can see the mess, right? Maybe sometimes, and maybe you do yell, pay attention to what you're doing. Why? Because you're about to make a mess. And that's what he's saying here. He says, hey, pay attention. Give heed. There should be a concentration of attention. That's hard sometimes. Attention spans are very short, right? You see these two little boys, Titus and Adam, you go up and talk to them, and their attention spans are very short. If you get them and get them a smile or two, and then they're off to the next flashy thing or the next annoying voice that comes in or the next map they see, right? That's okay. They're babies. Try teaching young people sometimes. Try preaching to adults sometime. Amen? We need to demand a concentration of attention to what we have that we don't let it slip. A distinct effort of our will to not allow these things to slip. We need to resist the natural tendencies to let them slip. Listen, how can we keep things from slipping? We need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. I know I mentioned this the other night, but I really believe that there is a severe dearth of meditation among God's people. That's to occupy our mind and heart with thoughts of the Word of God. You know, how many times do we come, do we read our Bible, and we go on through the day, and we have no remembrance? Never again bring up what we read that day. How many times we come to church and hear a message, it might have been a really good message, and then we go on and never again remember it or think or use any of it. We need to learn to meditate. We need to learn to just stop and focus our attention. But again, the world we live in is against that. They want you busy here and there. Sometimes I think the devil's not even concerned if we're real busy as long as he can get us away from the Word of God and what's most important. We need to take heed then. He says, give the more earnest heed. Take heed that no man deceive you, the Bible says. The Bible says, take heed what ye hear. It says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Take heed, watch and pray. Take heed, he that thinketh, take heed, what? Lest he fall. The Bible says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. Take heed that lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Take heed to this more sure word of prophecy that we have. And the Bible tells us, take heed to our ways. We need to take heed. And you know what we need to do? We need to grow. We need growth in our life. If we do not grow as a Christian, there's not neutral ground. You understand that? You don't just stay the same as a Christian. If you're not growing, if you're not going against the current and growing and pushing forward for God and trying to go forward and advance, you're slowly going to be pushed backwards. We need to grow. Listen, some of us, when we were in years past, we grew. But maybe we've stopped growing. We need to learn to get victory over the little things in our life. How do you get victory over little things? You constantly do them or you constantly don't do them. We need to act on the truth that we know and that we hear. We need to read and study and meditate on and obey the Word of God. We need to allow the Lord and ask Him to constantly shape our lives to become more like Jesus Christ. We need to yield to the Spirit of God in our lives daily. You say, I know all this stuff. I thought, this is nothing new. In fact, it's quite boring for me because I know all this. But listen, if you fail to do this, you'll begin to let things slip in your life. We need to be careful we don't let things slip. He just says, give the more earnest heed. What happens if we let things slip, if we drift away? There's things you lose. You lose your influence. See, Lot lost his influence. Lot, he let a lot of things slip, didn't he? you lose your testimony. You know, some of you, by the grace of God and by a lot of dedication and hard work and faithfulness, you've developed and built a testimony. When your name's mentioned, people think certain things about you. And then other people think certain things about you. But I'm talking about people who love the Lord, not people who are bitter and angry and in the flesh or lost. I'm saying other Christians who love the Lord and have a heart for the Lord. Some of you have a testimony with people. If somebody mentions your name, there are certain things they think. And that's good. You've developed that. You've worked on that. But you let things slip, you lose your testimony. Then when your name is mentioned, people, they won't think about you what they used to. There's people that I remember that used to, when their name came up, boy, there was a lot of good things I thought, but they had good testimony. And now, even as I was doing this, I thought of some of the names. They've got a testimony, but not a good one. Not a good one. You lose your effectiveness in ministering. And I'm going to assume, but maybe I should not. I say I have learned to never assume, and then I find myself still assuming. You know you should never assume anything, right? Have you all learned that? I've told a lot of people, one thing I've learned in life is to never assume, and then I find myself occasionally assuming. Like I assume when there's an opportunity to do something for God, I just assume everybody wants to do it. And then I'm like, I know better than this. That was a severe lack of judgment on my part. Oh, you just assume that if you tell somebody this is the best thing to do, that they're going to be glad to do it. And I'm like, Caleb, I know better than to assume. Where was I going with that? Oh, effectiveness in ministering. I would assume, which I know I should not do, that everybody in here would like to be effective in ministering. I would hope nobody's in here just for the selfishness and the pure taking of everything, but that you want to minister, that you want your life to minister and meet the needs of others, that you want to be used as one of those vessels of God to meet the need and to please the Lord Jesus Christ. But you let things slip, you won't be able to be effective in ministering anymore. You'll lose your opportunity to please God. You'll lose your ability to be found faithful. You'll even lose your reward on the other side. And listen, and this is more for the adults here, so if you consider yourself an adult, you can slot yourself in there. If we let things slip, we'll lose the next generation. Somebody's got to hold on for them. Somebody held on for you. Somebody held on for you. There were some that let them slip. You know why? Because they got consumed with themselves and whatever excuses they have, they became bigger than Jesus Christ, and they let things slip. Many of them have drifted long ways away. But there's somebody that didn't let it slip. And you and I are the beneficiary of that. Listen, as I grew up in church, there were people in the church, and always have been in the church, that did not let things slip. There were men of God. There was people in my life, my parents and others, that did not allow things to slip. Or if things began to slip, they quickly re-grabbed that which God had for them. And I'm a beneficiary of that. You younger people that are here, you're a beneficiary. You older people in here, you're a beneficiary of somebody didn't let it slip. Or maybe they did, but they didn't just let it go. They got right with God and they got back what they were supposed to have. So if we're not careful, we'll lose our next generation. Alexander McLaren said this. He said, "It is an awful condemnation for one to be brought by God's grace and providence face to face with a great possibility of service and of blessing, and then to show himself such that God has to put him aside and look for other instruments to use." What happens to that person who used to be involved in the service and the work of God and being a blessing and now is set aside and somebody else is doing what they once did? They let things slip. They drifted, and before long they were far, far away from where they should have been. Our text verse says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Listen, we have heard so much. I mean, all of us. I mean, even you young people, you've been in church for years. It's not a matter of if we've heard enough. The, The question is, have we given earnest heed, the more earnest heed, to not let them slip? Or have we allowed things in our life to slip? Let me just say this. I'll be honest with you here. I'll tell you all a secret. Everybody in this building, start with myself, we've all let things slip at times. The challenge is getting back. It's not getting too far. Not getting comfortable in that place. Keeping those accounts short. Humbling yourself. It can be shameful at times. I'm telling you, it can be shameful to look back and you've let some time or duties or something slip. You knew better. You never set out on purpose to let it happen, but it happened. But you just got to humble yourself and you got to go to God and get things right and ask Him to help you to get those things. And listen, just because you're young doesn't mean you haven't let things slip in your life. Listen, if you've ever been closer to God, if you ever had more zeal, if you ever more humble, if you ever had a stronger love for God than you have now, you've let something slip. That some current has come along and has taken you away from where you once were. And the challenge, the exhortation tonight, the message tonight, is if you have, ask the Lord to help you get them back. Acknowledge it. We've all done it. And get it back before it gets too late. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here tonight.